call Steve Ahman.
Sean Metzke.
Dennis Anderson.
Tim Johnson, substituting for Ron Christensen.
Steve Wilkins, the finance director.
Janelle Summers, recording secretary.
Larry Cruz, city administrator.
And the city councilman, councilperson Audrey Nelson, Sean, and the newspaper also. Item number one in the committee, any public comments? No public comments. We'll move on to the stormwater compliance permit assistant position. That was asked for staff to come back with a report. They've sent us some information to review prior to the meeting. This is to replace the, or to add a new position to the city for the senior city assessor's position, since we eliminated that, and we wanted them to come back with some more information. The request was made by us to consider from Mr. Peterson and Sean and Larry. And I guess we'll bring it back to Larry and see if he has any further comments.
Mr. Chair and committee, as you know, with the bumping in the assessor's department, we have one employee, Judy Thompson, that has has indicated she wants to bump our building permit technician. And in that process, obviously it creates disruption. And so we looked at other alternatives, and it was identified that there is a need for a stormwater compliance position. This position, from a staff perspective, is something that is needed. It's not creating a job just for the sake of preventing the bumping, but it has value. And with that, I'll ask both Sean and Bruce to come up. So you have a memo that Bruce and Sean put together in front of you, and it kind of talks about some of the costs. Some of the training costs is really hard to identify when you talk about the internal bumping going through, you know, several iterations. But, you know, it can cost up to anywhere from 25% to 50% of the cost of the employee to train. And we haven't quantified those numbers because they are difficult. And we don't know the extent of the bumping. You can have a bump, and then that person can take another job outside of the city, and that stops the bumping, or it could go through four or five iterations. With that, I'll turn it over to Sean and then Bruce.
Okay, go ahead, guys.
Well, and I'll let Bruce talk about a lot of this stuff, but we did, in fact, quantify that third page there. For the page after the description, is our attempt at quantifying what this could, or obviously may or may not, cost the city in both scenarios. So, what page am I on? Page 4 is showing the cost of the new position. And Bruce can explain this a little bit better, but went through a scoring, which was asked of this committee most recently. Score is a grade 5, which was anticipated, and so it shows there what the salary, including benefits, would be for that position. The cost of bumping, as Larry mentioned, is tough to nail down, but using an assumption of, what did you use, 4 positions?
4 positions, yes.
And half of the salary of those positions, if you use that for training purposes, comes to that $77,500 if the bumping was to go through an assumed route. Unemployment benefits, of course, of whomever the last person to bump or to be bumped would be in that range of $10,000 to $13,000. And then, of course, an unknown number is the cost of the lost productivity and the reduced customer service for a time. You know, obviously that training can happen, but for that initial service would be there. And then the item number 3 there is the cost of that stormwater non-compliance, and this is a position that's needed. It's convenient that convenience or not at this time, but it's a needed position, and we tried to quantify a little bit there of the some of the fines that, that people are seeing for some of these non-compliance violations. Obviously, based on the severity, it's quite a range. As you can see, 1,600 to 20,000 per incident based on the severity. So this accounts for both private and public entities, you know, that these rules are enforced because we are an MS4 community. With that, I think I'll let Bruce kind of explain a little bit more of the description and the scoring process.
Okay. Just to piggyback quick on what Sean was talking about, the cost of stormwater non-compliance, it seems like MPCA has stepped up their enforcement of governmental units, especially the MS4 communities, and I think you're going to see a lot more violations and a lot more citations going to municipalities. In the past, it's been primarily private sector businesses that have been in violation in the course of their projects. And I think because we're an MS4 community, we're going to get held to a higher standard, and they will view that violations on the private side are preventable by virtue of us supposedly having the right people in place to coach them through it. And if we don't have that, I think we've got a little higher exposure there as well. The council did ask staff to update the position description, and you've seen the updated draft. It is a non-exempt position, and the primary function of the position would be stormwater management and compliance review. Would be very limited construction plan review and permitting. There would be a variety of field work done, and we would also anticipate this position, when they're in the field, could assist with rental and zoning ordinance enforcement as well. The essential functions are pretty much as we spell them out to be: stormwater code enforcement and permitting assistance. There will be other duties that could certainly be assigned and may make sense, such as right-of-way permitting, some of the ponds and wetland inspections, as well as zoning inspections. And again, in this type of a position, there are a number of things internally that you can tie to that skill set that will arise from time to time, some special work that can certainly be assigned to this position. The position description went to the Employee Scoring Committee last week, and as Sean mentioned, it did score 205 points under the city's system, and it places the position in a pay grade 5. I think that the numbers bear themselves out, and the value of the position is not just in the fact that it's needed. We have a need, we have a demand for the services, but also looking at the liabilities and responsibilities that are being placed on MS4 communities by MPCA. It's got the potential to keep the city out of trouble, and it certainly gives us what we need to meet the demands of our MS4 legislation.
Anything else, Sean?
No, I think either one of us would be willing to answer any questions or concerns you may have of,
sure,
of our proposal.
Mr. Anderson.
Sean, remind me again what the acronym MS4 stands for. You told us the other night, but I can't remember what's...
So you're testing me here. It's Municipal Separate Storm Sewer Systems.
So four S's. Right. Okay, I couldn't remember what the four S's were. All right. My next question is, who's been doing this work, or are you suggesting that we've been lax in doing it, or what's happened in the past with this work?
I would say there's two things. The city has not had the staff to put on it. We've tried to deal with it internally with the people we have in the field. If they see a major violation, an erosion issue or a tracking issue from a construction site or even our municipal projects, we've tried to deal with it. It's gotten to be much bigger. The responsibilities are much greater. MPCA expects that you will be proactive on a site, not just reactive, that you'll go on the site, work with the contractor, lay out the expectations, make sure that the initial erosion control is all put in place, and then additionally follow up with periodic inspections during the course of construction. So the enforcement expected from the city, I think, is considerably more than it's been in the past. MPCA is just making stormwater a much higher priority.
And even most recently, they've begun to show up on projects, on sites. MPCA is more than they used to in the past. We got a write-up on the only two projects they visited last time they were out, maybe a month ago. So we feel like at this position, while yes, it was probably needed previously, it's becoming more and more evident that the need for this type of position. And if MPCA is putting more and more emphasis on stormwater, then we need to kind of try to keep ourselves out of trouble.
One more question. So when the MPCA goes out to a site and sees a violation, why is the contractor or whoever doing the work, why aren't they responsible? Why is why would the city be responsible for a contractor not doing their job?
The contractor is responsible, but it's kind of like a sub and a general, so to speak, right? So the contractor is responsible for fixing the violations. The city is ultimately responsible because it's within the city limits.
And we're an MS4 community.
And, yeah.
We're sized enough to be an MS4, so we've got that responsibility whether we want it or not.
Okay, all right.
So it's another one of those mandates.
Yeah, Tim, go ahead.
What was it, the last council meeting you made the presentation on this, Sean?
Last labor. I don't know if I made it, was that
2 weeks ago at labor.
Yeah, it was at labor.
We had a full council there, though.
Mm-hmm. No.
I don't think so.
No.
I think it was just labor.
Just labor?
Yeah.
I'm wondering, I already addressed the one as to who was doing this before, but have we been paying overtime hours to get this work done?
Not at this time.
And I guess, I mean, if the MPCA is stepping up their compliance procedures, I mean, you didn't mention that in your presentation at all. Seems significant to me, and
yep.
If there's this great need, and I mean, I'm sorry, I'm kind of uncomfortable with this from the standpoint that it didn't come up until Ms. Thompson decided who she was going to bump, and then all of a sudden we have a crisis.
So if I can respond, I feel like I did mention the step up in MPCA because I mentioned the times that they're starting to visit sites more often, and that they visited two of our sites and we were 100% non-compliant, if you will. So I feel like I did mention that.
But that wasn't the first time I remember asking you that question. I think it was citations before.
Well, I'm sure we have.
Yeah.
I'm sure we have. But probably not to that extent. I don't know that.
No.
So I guess what I'm saying is this position has been a need. It has come to the forefront now. That's very true, but it's not because it's more of a need today than it was yesterday.
Sean?
First of all, thank you for doing what you've done here, because I think this is a now well thought out description, and it does articulate some of that cost value stuff that I was asking about before. Thank you for classifying it and answering that question. I think it is very clear now. The timing of this is completely unfortunate. And I feel some responsibility as a city council that we've kind of created this issue. I mean, we've pushed forward, and I thought we had deals set for these employees to move into positions. We shouldn't be doing this as simply a response to bumping. And so I think we've articulated that there is some clear benefit here, and I like that. And I still feel it is an unfortunate timing, but I think it's a timing problem that was a creation of the city. I mean, we thought we had these agreements for these employees to articulate someplace else, and that did not happen. This is a much easier piece to justify now than it was before. I mean, if you were to take it back 2 weeks ago, there was no way in the world, because there's nothing to back it up. The discussions now should probably be on the merits of the position, because I mean, I believe the other part, we all know what it is. And the timing creates some awkwardness, but this has validity, in my opinion, at this point.
Go ahead.
I guess I my problem is I think that some of the quantification here is conclusory in nature. I mean, see, Administrator Cruz, by his own statement before we started this discussion, said they hadn't done any quantitative analysis, really.
I know.
I'm sorry. And I'm very unhappy with the way we eliminated our assessing department. My belief was, in answer to my inquiries, that everything was being taken care of, and we have had one request after another generated by the termination of that department that was not foreseen, and I think a lot of this was foreseeable. So I'm really, I mean, we're really been put in a box here by some, some poor planning, in my opinion.
I share that.
Yeah, I'm just absolutely real frustrated here, and that makes the timing of this all the worse. I mean, indeed. It's...
Go ahead, Dennis.
This whole discussion on what happened with the assessing department, I'm not sure that we could have foreseen. Maybe we should have, but I'm not sure we could have. We didn't. But that is the point I want to make is that is one subject. This is another. And Sean hit on a number of things that I was going to say. Our discussion now is on, is this job necessary? And I still need just the little more information on MS4, whatever.
MS4.
Yeah, right, cities. Were we recently classified as an MS4 city? Mm-hmm. So we've always been.
Not always, no. The program just started 5-6 years ago.
Yeah, like that. And they set the population limits at 10,000.
So we theoretically could have been in a bad spot if there'd been violations that MPCA would have seen.
As staff, we didn't think the timing was appropriate in the past to bring the job forward. You can look at the assessing office demise as a good thing or a bad thing. The bottom line is that I think it presents us with an opportunity internally to take care of some things that weren't getting done in the past. And I don't know what could have been done differently in dealing with the assessing department. That's beyond my pay grade. But anytime you're dealing with people, it's not cut and dried, and you can't predict or plan for the reactions of the individuals involved. And they're people.
Yeah. Larry, go ahead.
I guess I'd like to speak to, you know, the assessing department. Anytime you eliminate a department or multiple employees, that's just probably the worst job that there is, and it's hard to plan for. Strategies in the past have been to transfer those employees over to, in this case, the county. And along with that went a little over $1.5 million to, in essence, buy benefits and services over a period of time during that transition. In this case, the city has an 18-month transition. The county did not allow for us to transition employees. After employees decided that they didn't want to accept the county's offer, we continued to try to get the county to work through that with us, and they didn't. I think if you look at the cost-benefit analysis of what was accomplished, it was far superior to what was done on a financial basis as in the past. And I don't know, other than maybe taking a real hard line and just notifying the county that, you know, we're out of the assessing business and you deal with it. And so I do want to defend all of our efforts in that transition. And I'm sorry if it didn't meet anybody's expectations, but anybody that thought that was going to be an easy process, I think, is sadly mistaken.
Yeah, go ahead, Sean.
Question about the cost of bumping. Is a half a year's salary, or is that a kind of a standard piece?
I don't know if you want to call it an industry standard, but it's one of those numbers that they throw out and they say, here's in the, and Dennis probably could speak to it from an HR position, but there is a cost, and it's due to the training involved, the disruptions in the work, the lost productivity, all of those things. And can you quantify it exactly? I don't think so.
Okay, well, that's what I was thinking. That was a piece that I had not really thought much about, of a retraining piece. As I'm sitting here looking at this, is this, just because of the whole situation, I think is relatively unique, have we ever did these kind of positions, since this is new and we don't know how it will work out, that we say it would be reevaluated at a set number of time? And if it simply looks like it is something that is not working the way it should, that we would just eliminate and go back to the bumping process if that's the case. Because I look at this and I think truly now it does have merit, and there's pieces that are here that clearly say this should happen. I would assume you'd do an evaluation and say, if we're still getting fined for things, or and we can probably measure the cases that go through these pieces, I think that permitting assistance is a good idea as well. I'm looking at this thinking, this seems like a solution, but I don't know if it's a permanent solution. Is it a Band-Aid solution? And it, as I'm sitting here pondering, is that something that even could be considered?
Yeah. Go ahead.
My problem with it is we've had fines like this before. There's nothing has really changed here. I mean, the work was getting done, still getting done. And I don't think Sean's going to sit here, nor Bruce, and guarantee us that we won't have fines in the future.
No.
I when it comes to quantifying this, I'm just not real comfortable with it. The bumping was foreseeable. We have a union contract. And that was one of the reasons for my questions, which were asked at least three times, about are we going to keep our employees whole? And the reason I asked those questions is we went through this process when I first came on the council with respect to the assessing department. And our city administrator at the time, Mick Schmidt, pulled it like literally 24 hours before almost. Pulled it off the table. And the reason was the county, these people weren't going to be held whole. So, and he knew then, he didn't want the bumping. He made that choice at that time. Now, for some reason, that was apparently overlooked this time. But that's why I asked those questions. And like I say, I'm just not real pleased with the way this has turned out. And here we have something that we've been doing, and I don't know that it doesn't appear from anything I've heard from staff that we're not getting the job done. You know, there's been no overtime, and now we're creating a position that I don't, frankly, you know, like I say, the timing's real bad. And if it was, you know, it's like we're not being proactive, we're being reactive. And then when we make the reaction, it's linked to the bumping process. And I'm not comfortable.
Sean or Larry, go ahead.
Well, I'd just like to say the elimination of the assessing department was not my decision. That was a directive of the council. And so I was carrying out the council's wishes. And so I think if you can call it, it was a team effort on behalf of everybody to get us to where we are today.
No, the council wasn't involved in negotiating the transfer, Larry. You were. And that's where we ran into problems, in my opinion. I'll just be blunt.
Go ahead.
We got to get off this assessing. That's not why we're here. But at the end of the day, we saved money doing it. There were some struggles and some issues, but we did save money. That's what we looked at. We got to concentrate. Is this job necessary? I've had reservations and I've thought about this. We haven't been getting the job done, is what I'm hearing. We haven't been getting things done. Maybe we've lucked out, or maybe we've got really good folks that are out there doing the right sort of thing. I don't know. This is tough. We've got to set timing aside. Is this job necessary for the reasons that are listed here? That's what we have to decide.
I have a question. Bruce, you were talking about the fines and permits. I mean, I know we had one out at the waste treatment plant when that was being built. I think the MPCA fined us, and was it Dunnick Brothers? Both? You know, you were for some violation of stormwater retention that we weren't taking care of, or filter screening. That was the one you're referring to, correct?
Yeah, I don't recall exactly what that was, but the MPCA did. did cite the city for that.
The Donick's got cited, then we got cited. It was both of us, but we both ended up paying money for that because the contractor was responsible. Since it was a public entity, I think they came after us also. I remember, I don't know, $20,000.
Yeah, it's not uncommon for them to split the responsibility, split the liability, especially in the case of MS4 cities.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I question the validity of it also, and I have to weigh my prejudice here and be open. But just for your information, as a licensed contractor with the state of Minnesota, I'm required, and as everybody, if you're an excavator also, you have to meet certain requirements, continued education requirements, so many hours per year in training on that. And every year, the Builders Association town would have somebody from the county come out and they talk about soil erosion, or one of the building inspectors come out and talk about soil erosion preventions and also what those requirements were. So the contractors are aware of what they have to do. Whether they do it or not is another question, but it happens at the time of usually that should all be in place, the erosion control measures, the screening, felt screening, or the water retention or dirt soil retention barriers around the site should all be done as or prior to any dirt being performed on the site. And my question is this: if the contractor is liable for it and ultimately will get fined, the building inspector comes out and inspects the footing when they're digging up the footings, you might say, or having dirt work done, which is the time that you're going to have the most exposure to soil erosion. At that time, the building inspector is there, and all the person would have to do is look to see if the soil prevention measures were put in. So I'm questioning why we'd have another person come out there and inspect when we already have the building inspector out there inspecting the footings. That's the time when the erosion control measures should be put up prior to. So I'm questioning this also.
Well, we have some very large projects that don't involve building permits, that involve excavation only, mm-hmm. and so there wouldn't be any inspector on that site, mm-hmm. other than this person to meet with the contractor. We're aware of them because we'll issue excavation permits, mm-hmm. but excavation permits don't have an inspection process in place. That's just so we know who's digging where.
Mm-hmm. But they are ultimately responsible as an excavator for soil erosion efforts. They would be fined by the MPCA if they would be coming by all of a sudden one day in their vehicle and see a bunch of bulldozers moving dirt. They could pull over anytime they want and look at that site and cite them for a citation immediately. They can do that to any residential site right now also. So
And so would the city, because we're responsible for the waters leaving the city, which is where this position comes in.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, go ahead.
Help me understand what you're looking for on site. Is it more than just silt fences? I mean, are there other things that should be done? I mean, if you're just looking to see if they got a silt fence and it's not broken, what do they look for?
Well, Bruce is looking for this. Years ago, Holly and Curly put together a checklist of items that is potentially a work in progress, but it will not be less than those items on that checklist. So what the anticipation is this position, whomever is in this position, takes this checklist to each and every site. And then this checklist has gone through and notes are made and logs and progress reports are made. We don't have the staff to do that right now. We don't have the staff to do this checklist, obviously, since it was put together when Holly was still here. So what it would do is it would reestablish this checklist, it would reestablish these reporting documentation or reports for the city because of the MS4 requirements, and allow us to stay in compliance out of fines that are increasing. We were not fined for the last two violations we've got. We were not fined for those, but we could have been. And they remind us daily that we could have been. What I'm saying is, they only checked two sites
100% of those sites, two for two, we had violations.
What were the violations? And what was wrong?
They were some of what's on this checklist. So you've got runoff off the road going directly to a stream. Maybe you've got a silt fence that needs to be tied up higher. I mean, the silt fence could be there. Just yesterday or day before, one of our guys happened to be driving by a site only because he was driving on the way home and saw water running under a silt fence because of some erosion. Had he not driven by, we wouldn't have known that. You know, if you got muddy water leaving a site, that's a potential violation. I mean, it's amazing the amount of things that they can, if they want to, or if we're not taking care of our own project, our own water, our own city, our own requirements, if we're not doing that, it's amazing the amount of things that they can, and sometimes do, hang on sites and cities.
And it's not just restricted to the site where they're doing the work. Within that drainage area, if you've got the potential for runoff from that site going somewhere else, you're responsible for inlet protection for a certain distance within the drainage area for all your storm sewer inlets. And
if you get a big downpour and you have the inlet protection in there, but it actually pushes that inlet protection out of, you know, away a little bit, that can be a violation. I mean, so it's a never-ending concentration on doing these items.
In a former life, I worked with MPCA, you know, and I know that they always look more kindly, at least if you're trying to do the right thing. We're a little bit exposed. We're not even trying to do the right thing, it seems like. So this is tough.
I have one question. You know, you talk about the looking at it from a business perspective, we're looking at a 2-year employment for an individual, I'm assuming, from what I hear. That's an assumption. I'll let it make that perfectly clear. And we're looking at $50,000 or more for retraining, or $25,000 or $30,000 for training for an individual that we're going to have for 2 years. I know that something should be considered too, you know. The investment of the tax dollars for training of an individual for 2 years, is that worth it? Is that what we want to do, or should this position, if it's that important, be put out with a person who has already been trained in the field? I just want to throw that out. I won't be here in another 6 months. But
my simple response would be that we don't know how long a person's going to remain in a position, ever. And you can be subject to retraining. Steve's probably painfully aware of that process in finance. And no matter how well you try to staff, you can have turnover that creates a constant cost. And in this particular case, I have every reason to believe that the person that would probably be interested in this position is more than a 2-year employee, for reasons that we have discussed personally, having to do with personal life and finance. So, you know, that to me, that really shouldn't be a major part of the discussion, but suffice it to say that anybody can be gone at any time, and you've got to retrain that position.
That's true. Sean, go ahead.
If I may touch on something that Mr. Meske said here a little bit, I'm glad I jotted it down because I'd already forgotten, but about the need for a position, the reevaluation of the position, and things of that nature. We've got an ongoing example of that right now with our, some of you remember the environmental specialist was a position that we created, we added, we didn't have before. It was a need. It had been a need for a while. Things were not getting taken care of as well as they should have. Much the same situation I feel like that we have going on right now. That process went through a lot of the same thing we're doing here, to the extent of the original job description internally for that position was about 6 pages long of duties that could be added to that position. It got narrowed to 3. It turns out that the amount of time involved in those 3 pages is more than one person can handle already. So we're constantly reevaluating those job descriptions. Does it need to be rescored? I don't know if you're removing some duties. The scoring seems to hinge a lot on education and help me out, experience, I suppose. But it was the same thing. The individual in that position had not done that position before. That position never existed. We had no idea what to expect of that position. It's turned out to be a great addition, and she's done an outstanding job in that position and is building that position to what it is today.
Well, we definitely have no shortage of opinions here. That's good. Healthy discussion. Good discussion. Staff is doing what they're supposed to be doing and giving us direction from their perspective, and we're supposed to listen and form an opinion. That's the way the process works. What we have in front of us is, I can't help but think of as a direct impact to our elimination of the assessing department and the repercussions are before us. What would you like to do? Any further discussion? We have a recommendation that we create this new position and stormwater compliance officer.
You know, for the sake of moving it to the council, and I'm in a quandary, I'll move approval.
We have a second.
I'll second it.
We have a second. Any further discussion?
Yes. I would again say, given the circumstances and the unknowns, this is a fairly fluid area, and it's moving all the time, and it's not any fault of the city. Regulations are changing all the time, and what could be required of this position today could very easily change tomorrow. And in light of that, if we keep it on the position, which is where I wanted to keep the focus, the circumstances behind it, I don't like it at all. But if you keep it on the merits of the position, I'd like to see it reevaluated in a quick time frame. If we're going to put this in, and it seems as if it's sort of this conglomerate of pieces where we feel that we may be vulnerable, then let's have a set evaluation of, did this close that vulnerability? Now, what that evaluation will look like, I can't talk off the top of my head for that, but to me this seems like a position that probably should be set for a reevaluation fairly soon after it's established. And I know that may kick the can down the road, but that seems like a logical piece for this position. But I will not put it onto the motion, but I mean, that's something we need to have that dialogue, maybe at the council table, that this is set to look at in a year or two.
I wouldn't, you know, if you feel that way, make an amendment that you look at it again in 6 months, 9 months, whatever. And I suspect, depending on construction seasons and things like that, it's going to vary. You know, how long is it going to take for us to get a good handle on this? Because winter time is going to probably be very different than spring, with rains and all of that, and construction starting. I don't know what the time frame would be.
Right. Well, and then plus, I mean, if you're adding permitting in here, or if you go out and say, you know, are there some pieces out that Ms. Jacobson has discovered that she can do that will fit in here too? Is it time to look at those kind of pieces? That's why I say it seems like it's a fairly loose piece, and because it is loose, to me, it seems like it's set for an evaluation. So, I mean, if you want, I would put a friendly amendment to the motion that we reassess this position in 9 months. I mean, maybe that would give me enough framework that we cover most of the season, but
do we have to vote on that?
As if it's a friendly amendment, you just have to say,
oh,
yay,
I'm fine
or nay.
With that. Yeah. I'm fine with that.
No, friendly amendment
that doesn't
to review it after 9 months, just so I get an understanding.
But maybe I get some information here.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead, Bruce.
My concern would be that we've got a person that's going to take a couple months to come up to speed and to get through some of the training on it. And I really think it's fair to work through a construction season to see when things are going to be done. So, you know, maybe even 12 months would give us much better time to look back and say, okay, we've been able to implement these processes. Here's what we think the results of that are. And I agree with you totally, Councilmember Meske. There may very well be some things from the environmental specialist where they tag team. I know they were going to do some this position and that one are set to do some stormwater training if this goes through.
I'd make the friendly motion that it, or amendment that it is a 12-month evaluation process.
At that 12.
That makes sense to me. But how do we, if I may, Mr. Chair?
Chief, go ahead.
That somehow we need to have that identified on a calendar or something so that it isn't just gone.
Forgotten. Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, how good is your memory?
Yeah. One tag under yours.
I won't be here.
Right. I won't either, but I'm still, you know, I'm not comfortable with the manner in which this has been quantified. I'm sorry, no disrespect to staff, but I just don't think it's well enough quantified to move forward on with the motion that's proposed, and I will oppose it.
Also, I just want to clarify, if I may speak as chairman. You know, now the issue in the summertime and the season that you're talking about, they're also looking at maintaining records for rental inspections as being part of this. What isn't being done right now, other than the position that this person would take, is currently doing that also, correct?
It would be to deal with rental inspection issues and code enforcement issues. If this person's out in the field and going out in the field for a specific purpose, mm-hmm. and we have field needs, rather than send a second person out in the field, we'd have this person piggyback and pick up some of those things now. So it's more a matter of running things more efficiently. There's nothing that's not getting done in the rental program. There are some things that don't get done in as timely a manner as we would like to, and as time allows, we'd like to have this person be able to step in and assist with that stuff too.
Assist with doing the inspections and stuff.
Exactly. Okay. Yep. It's the field work side of it.
Okay. Well, I just want to reiterate maybe a couple points. With this job creation and the reporting and everything else, it is not mandated by the federal government or the state government that we're required to do all of this. We were required to do it through MS4, and currently they have enforcement officers out through the MPCA that drive around looking at the job sites. They occasionally get into town. I know it's not all the time. And since the contractor is ultimately responsible, and we have a building inspector been out there and during the site, or if we see anything that's looking a little bit questionable on any kind of earth movement or silt retention that isn't being done, aren't we doing that already? I just think this is a redundancy, and I cannot support this particular position the way it's written, and with the job duties already performed, and also I have some concerns about the turnover of this position also, that it doesn't look very economically feasible for us to accomplish all our goals with the other responsibilities we have in this community, rather than have another person enforce the job site and mandate compliance and things that normally wasn't done before. It's another way to quantify the purpose is to have somebody drive around looking at all these silt fences. You know, I can't see it myself, but that's just my personal opinion. Thank you. Go ahead, Sean.
Well, I think the city's responsible for things that go on in the city, and of course we get into it with the contractors and stuff, but there's more than just construction in the position. But I keep going back to, we have been given a big bunch of lemons here, and some of it is the creation of our own issues that we've done. And we need a solution to the problem. If you think it's already costly in the effects here, training costs, morale costs are going to be even greater. And so you have to make some lemonade, and it isn't tasting good. I get that. It's sour, but you have to find some kind of solution to the problem. Just kicking it down the road because we're upset of the way it went, to me, we need to move past that and come up with a solution. So if this is not the solution, we need the solution sooner than later, because we're going to create a lot of turmoil. A lot of turmoil is going to come from a action of the council. And so I think we need to do something. And I am not happy about it at all. But the fact is, we are in the quandary that we are here. I mean, we have to deal with the issue. Not dealing with it is going to make things worse.
Okay. Larry, you want to make some more comments?
I'll just say that Ms. Thompson is very familiar with the city. She's in her assessing job, has a lot of strong skills and attributes that'll make her hit the ground running. So I think that's a, even though that's talking more about the person than the job, but that's a big plus. And then she is a 28-year veteran of the city, and we do have a concern for our employees.
I'm going to throw another zinger in it here. Since this is a new position, how many people in this community have trained to do this type of work already? There's a lot of individuals that have gone to school for this type of water compliance, stormwater compliance. Is that something that a current existing engineering firm could do? And has that been looked into?
Not on my behalf, no.
Good question. Are we required to advertise this position if we create it?
It's a new position. What has been discussed with the union is that they would have a waiver of posting. But your question.
I'm also going to, I mean, I would think this might be covered. I'm no employment lawyer, but it might be covered by the Equal Opportunity Employment Act. Do we have to advertise? I don't know.
Go ahead.
Don't we post internally first? And then if you get.
I just raised the question. Yeah, I don't know the answer.
I don't know the answer either.
Current positions are posted internally first. Yeah.
The union has said that they would work and waive their 10-day, and their group would support making this available to the candidate.
Which adds a dues-paying member to their role.
Okay, any further discussion, comments? Appreciate everybody's input. Remember, none of this is personal, it's just opinions. So let's go out of here with a friendly attitude. All in favor of the motion as it was presented, say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign?
Aye.
Aye. 2-2. Thank
you. Does that mean it goes to the council without a recommendation from committee then?
Right now it would, yes. Okay. Yeah, right now it would. Okay. Thank you, gentlemen, for your work in putting this all together. We'll see where it goes from here. Number four on the agenda is the city clerk risk management duties.
Now there's one area that I'd like just to bring forward, and that would be, excuse me, in the previous clerk treasurer's job description, there was a sentence that said, file and monitor property tax liability automotive claims with insurance trust staff. And write risk management insurance or specifications for bidding and renewal of vendors. And so Kevin was always one to be the keeper of making sure when contracts were issued that they had the proper insurance in place. And I'd just like to add that to that job description and responsibility for the clerk.
Okay. I would move that addition.
I have a motion to add that addition to the existing proposal that he wanted to include.
I'll second it, but I have questions.
Okay, go ahead. We have a second question.
Does that change anything substantially?
I don't think so. It's the thoughts are still to have the workman's comp and that go under the HR person as an HR function. I don't think there's any substantive.
So it wouldn't change the pay range or anything like that because of that?
I haven't had it graded yet, and that's why I want to include it. Otherwise, it would be under other duties. And
okay.
Well, then I have a question to that answer. Is it perceived that addition would have an increase in the job description? I mean, that would call for a pay grade increase for that little piece of duty?
it could give some points in the process, but not necessarily change out.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it is a responsibility, albeit I think a fairly small one.
I have a question, Larry. With these change in duties, we're shifting some responsibilities over to the finance department. And are there any repercussions there that are going to change anything from Steve's department?
His job description is going tomorrow to also to be looked at.
Okay.
And I can't answer that specifically. There was one minor correction clarification, I should say, on his, and that is we used some of the old job titles. They had clerk one and two and three, and it's really just clerks. So, I mean, that is just a, I'd call it a non-material change.
Okay. I have some additional questions.
Sure, go ahead.
We probably need to get vote on the motion on the floor before we...
Oh. To accept that as part of the inclusion of what Larry's presented. Any further discussion on that? Now I'll call for the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. That's included in the information. And please have that noted and updated for the council for kids so that it's clarified. Okay.
And I should say also that the IT was changed from under the finance. That's under city administrator. Those three are two things. There's two clerks in his office, and then the county supervisor, and those are the three that are under the finance.
Okay.
I don't think that takes action. I just pointed out.
I'm confused and upset about it. I'm not sure what are we being asked under this letter to make a classification from non-exempt to exempt? Is that what this all comes down to?
No.
Okay.
No.
Because there are things in here, and I my recollection of wage and hour law is fuzzy at best, but I know you can't make a position exempt to get around paying of overtime, at least in the private sector. You can't. There's certain qualifications and things that have to be passed in order for a position to be exempt.
But as you can see by the letter, we're going to have to work on a number of things regarding, you know, there's a lot of meetings that the clerk attends, and
That is a management responsibility to figure out how to circumvent overtime or minimize overtime.
Right. And that could be accomplished. Maybe someone comes in later in the morning
and
stays in the evening.
Mm-hmm. Things like that, exactly.
Yeah, so no. No.
Any other comments on the city clerk's job description, or final job description? I guess in that consideration, I believe it's accepted as presented. Is that correct? With the changes that we just previously adopted.
We just voted to make the changes, right?
Yeah.
For the risk, add the risk management duties,
mm-hmm.
Sean, and that's carried.
Okay.
Just a little update then.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, those three positions will be rated and graded, and once graded, then we'll be advertising and trying to fill those positions. And as I understand it, Dennis is representing the committee as far as the
mm-hmm. Yes.
Human Resource Director on the interview committee.
It's a good fit.
For the job interviews for applicants? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
I've not been on there yet.
No, that's fine. I just wanted to make sure I understand what what you're, what he says you're doing.
Just for information, Sean, we've been rotating with full council and on department heads and positions like that. We thought it'd be good to have just a per council person sit in on that, so it's been a pulse for about 2 years now. And I was the first one, and then Ron, I think, sat in and won.
And Jim Dockin.
Jim Dockin did, and...
Oh, then I'm off, then, that's good.
Well, and of course, it's his forte in his previous
life. Well, that's what I said, I thought, if it's rotation, you hit it when it's his forte, that's pretty good rotation, so.
So
luck of the draw.
Yeah, luck of the draw. I have a couple comments, a couple things. The human resource position is out there, correct?
Human resources position will be created tomorrow.
Tomorrow, okay, so we'll be all three of those. All right, and then as far as the early retirement policy, I know that was one thing that we didn't get done. It's been on the back burner. Should we put that on a future agenda sometime?
It's been tabled by the full city council and... my protocol probably would be for someone to, you know, it's gone through a number of gyrations. It's been referred back to committee, and and right now it's on the full council table. So I think the full council table could bring it back, and then.
All right. Then the city administrator's review. I've had some concerns for you council people wondering if 6 o'clock in the evening is going to give us adequate time to review it prior to the meeting. And one council person has not submitted any information. That's Rick. And I called him today, too. Robert Scott called me just for your update. And he's reviewing all the compiled data. It's all in his hands. Nobody else has seen it. So nobody else can review it and see who wrote what or whatever. And that's all going to be eliminated. And he's putting that in a format. And he's going to be sending that confidentially to the city council people for review for the meeting. So he'll have time to review it. And it was supposed to go out today, but I said, if you can, I'll call Rick and see if he's got time to quickly do that survey. If not, it'll be 7 people that'll be responding to it, and it should be up by tomorrow or Friday. It'll be sent to Larry also, so he has full access to it. But I'm just wondering if the time shouldn't be 5:30, or do you think 6 o'clock will work? We could order pizza or something.
Are we under any time? We're not under a time constraint that we have to be done with the review in one day, right?
No, not really.
So if we wanted an additional time, we could do that, right?
Take as much time as you need.
So I don't know if you want to play it by ear, but I have a question on the positions that you say are getting graded. Are we going to re-examine them after they're graded and a pay scale established before we move forward with those positions?
Why?
Well, it would seem important to me that if we did this, depending on, I don't know what those pays are going to look like, is that something that we should probably take a look at again, saying, what are we talking about for a salary range, and are we taking on a huge expenditure of those? I'm not saying to look at them to try to somehow stop them, but maybe it's something that needs to be examined again. I know what kind of questions would it be happening, but I know there's been talk about that. What if you create it and it comes in at a much larger scale than anticipated, and can there be adjustments to that? And I know that might put a monkey wrench in things, but
once the jobs are graded and scored, then they'll go to Springstead for to come up with the market rate. And I mean that's your call. We could run a tandem process and advertise it at depending on qualifications.
Yeah, go ahead, Dennis.
I get nervous. We've not done that, to my knowledge. I mean, we approve the job. We have a general idea where it's going to fall, you know, and there's a ceiling now. It seems like that's a step that I don't know that I see a necessity for. I mean, it is what it is. If the clerk position is rated up, whatever it is, we can't change it. Unless you change the job description.
Yeah.
But we've approved the job descriptions already. It seems like we're confusing and confounding the process.
I think what Sean's talking about, and if I'm correct, I would agree with it, but I think what he's talking about is it comes back to us just for informational purposes so we see what the heck we're doing. I mean, that, I don't want to manage it either, but I do want to see it.
That's a good point.
I don't want to find out about it 9 months from now and think, well, why the heck did we do that? You know, I want to know.
I can make sure that all comes back as soon as I get it.
Just makes sense.
Okay, I agree.
I mean, that's what I think.
Okay.
I don't want to overreach. Okay. But I don't know. I mean, and you're assigned to the thing, and if we get the grade tomorrow, then you're on the committee. I'm never going to know. It's just going to, wheels are going to go.
Good point.
That's just,
good point.
That's just a sample of just more openness and transparency as to what's going on. I mean,
no objection. I misunderstood.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry.
No, I just asked for clarification. I'm not arguing with you. I understand what you're saying, too, but I don't want to be in the, you know, doing that. That's not my job. It's not beyond the scope of my job description.
Okay. I have one other thing just to bring up, to remind. We talked about the health savings accounts and the health insurance policy meeting with Blue Cross Blue Shield. Now we're 6 months into the year again. You know, this happens. Where are we on that process, or what's the next step we need to take as a group, or is there?
Mr. Chair and committee members, the insurance comes out in August with their rates.
Yeah.
And at that time, we'll start a process of identifying a health savings plan, and we'll bring a facilitator in to educate and inform everybody. And then the council will have to decide on some kind of an incentive that would attract employees in enough numbers to go to that plan.
Okay.
And so I've had Kevin work a calendar backwards, mm-hmm. so that we meet the insurance deadlines, and I've been told we have adequate time within that calendar to go through the process.
All right, everybody feel comfortable with us around the subject? I guess we're adding this to the agenda, but
what
okay,
all
go
that
ahead.
Means, you know, because my understanding is we belong to an insurance cooperative. We're a participant in a board that they have made up of some of the companies or entities like the city that they cover.
Right.
They make a decision on, and it's employees that make up that group, and they make a decision on what the coverage offerings will be, the options. We don't have a lot of leeway. I've questioned that process since I've been on the council. And here we are, we're still there. I mean, I don't think that's the way that we should be doing business with our health insurance. I mean, it's important to get a good rate. It's important to give a good benefit to our employees. But we if we don't like the proposal from the cooperative, we're stuck. We don't have any alternatives. That's the way I understand that process. So all the things you're talking about, Larry, are fine, but we're stuck with what the co-op offers. We're in. And that was a real problem when we were negotiating the union contract that our department heads used to be under. And I don't know if the former administrator who was involved in those negotiations understood that process, because it was handled by one of the department heads, Mr. Halliday. And I just don't think that that's, you know, I've talked to you about this, about having when we get an HR person, that they do that work. That's, you know, that's my understanding. So, you know, we aren't going to have a lot of choices. You know, the implication I got was, oh, we'd have some choices. I mean, the remarks, and that, my understanding is we don't. I think that ought to be clarified so that everybody understands that.
Okay, thank you. I wanted to bring this up because it was one of our goals. It was one of our goals of the group, of the full city council and mayor, to work towards this. And we've got consensus from the AFSCME groups to participate in discussions on this. Mm-hmm. And that's what our goal is, and I 7 months into the year again, and here we are again. So we need to stay on top of it. And it wouldn't be a bad idea, Larry, if it's possible. Some of those things that are still an unfinished business, you know, if we should just put those down on the bottom of every agenda, so we're made aware of that, and to keep everybody sharp and questioning or or get more information or request more information, Larry, and keep the dialogue going at upcoming meetings. My memory isn't perfect, but I remembered this one. Anyway, it would probably be a good thing to have. Yeah, go ahead.
When we look at the calendar, one of my concerns, and I've talked to Larry about it, is that we have plenty of time for the employees to digest this, because it's a big change, and sometimes they need to have an opportunity to, whether they talk to someone or whatever, but they have to look at their history and, you know, does this make sense for them as a family? And my experience has been that when everything is on the table and they understand it, it's a good deal. I think the only area where we have much flexibility is what we will contribute as a city toward the plan. I think there's some...
You're talking about like a diva. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but on the other ones, I'm with you. Yeah.
Okay, is there anything we need to do on that? Here, go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to say the reason that we're waiting till August to get real numbers is that's what the employees really are. Until you have a number mm-hmm. for them to look at, it really is really hard to analyze for them and everybody.
Would it be possible for you to come back at the next meeting and just have a tentative date of scheduled times when how we're going to go ahead process?
I'll attach that to the Friday memo.
Okay, perfect. All right. Anything else before the committee? If not,
move for second.
Second. Any questions? All in favor, say aye. Adjourn. Thank you.
No objection to that.